Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024, and we are continuing to read from the Big Book, Bill's Story. And today we are studying on page 10, the first paragraph. He talked for hours through to that wartime in Old Winchester Cathedral came back again. Today's readers are Larry G., who will read the text, Lorraine N. for A Vision for You, Lois P. is our backup, our newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and Eileen M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, March 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, 21,236, and for Wednesday, March 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern is 21,242. Overeats Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Laura W. in Chicago to please unmute and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Laura W. I'm actually from the Chicago suburbs. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Laura. And I will now invite Letty G. to unmute and please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Letty.
Good morning, Susan, and good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G. from Las Vegas, Nevada. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OAs such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they suffer. Serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Letty. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. If everybody would like to turn to page 10, the first paragraph, which begins 2 hours, through two paragraphs, the paragraph that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again, which is where we will end. And I will now ask Larry G. to join us and to begin reading and sharing on these two paragraphs. Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, and thank you, Susan. Larry G. from California. He talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on still Sundays, way over there on the hillside. There is that pre-offered temperance pledge I had never signed. My grandfather's good nature contempt of some nature folk and their doings. His insistence that the Spears really had their music, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. His fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past. They made me swallow hard. And then continue, that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. Larry G. from California. So we're reading about Bill and being 12-step by Ebby. Ebby is the one who's talking for hours. And what is he referring to at Winchester Cathedral? It's a doggerel, and I'll let my UK brothers and sisters explain what that means. But if you go back to the beginning of Bill's story, there's this little tombstone that talks about this soldier who died either by musket or pot being booze. I have one incident of this. It will tell you a little bit about who I used to be and who I can become again if I do not follow the spiritual path. When I was attending these face-to-face meetings before I came to A Vision for You, routinely on a Friday, I would go out and have a 20,000 calorie binge and then come to a meeting on Saturday, a large meeting on Saturday, and then complain and cry in my cartons and boxes. And at the end of this meeting, this woman came up, and now she was a recovered. She was from Los Angeles. She was about 65, 70 years old. She came up to about my chest, and she's just a really pleasant lady. And she said, you know, Larry, what I want you to do is that altar you talk about all the time, you pray before, I want you to go to this store and get all the boxes and cartons and containers and packages that you eat your favorite foods from. And I want you to take those, and I want you to put those on your altar, get on your knees and pray before it and create a shrine to flour and sugar. And she walked away. I was so pissed. I can't tell you how angry I was, because this woman was really pulling my covers. And then, like that soldier, there was a warning. It was a warning. It was a shot across the bow. It was a warning that I did not heed. And like most of us in this call, it takes getting beaten in a submission. You know, I have gone to the University of Beaten in Submission to get to this point. And she was right. I couldn't hear it. I could not hear it. I was not coachable. I was not teachable. I wanted you to buy into my BS and then also present myself as this God-fearing, God, you know, believing that I had this unbelievable spiritual program, but yet I was dying. I was eating thousands of calories, binging, and presenting myself as being recovered. And I'm so glad that I was beaten to submission on May 18th of 2020. And I can tell you today, I woke up by the grace of God, sober today from my alcoholic foods. And I haven't had alcoholic foods since May of 2020. And for that, I'm grateful. And that I was finally beaten to submission. That was the only, and maybe some of you on this call will relate to that. Maybe some of you are on this call today because you are beaten to submission. Anybody in this call who is surrendered will have a similar story. And I'm going to pass it back to Susan, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story about this paragraph. Thank you, Susan. Pass it back to you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Thank you for getting us started this morning. Okay, before I take a lineup of names, although we share your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you came in the middle of Larry's share, we are sharing. We're on page 10 in Bill's story, and the paragraphs we're sharing on today are the first full paragraph that begins, he talked for hours, and we're finishing with that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral, tongue twister here, came back again. So when you give me your name, if you can give me your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Okay, I am ready.
California.
Okay, but you can't talk over everyone. Who was from California? Was that Cara?
Yep.
Cara, good morning. Okay, I have Cara down. Who else
Claire
was speaking
UK?
At this? Sorry?
Claire E from UK.
Hi, Claire, good morning. All right, hey. Who else would like to join them?
Cheryl A.B. from California.
Cheryl A.
Emma M. from New Jersey.
Emma M. from New Jersey. Anyone else like to join this first lineup? All right, we'll pause there and we'll get started. Could everybody other than Cara L. please mute themselves? And Cara, over to you, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Cara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I had to unmute today because this is one of my, I don't know, favorite paragraphs, quote unquote, right? But I always get, when I hear this read or I read it and study it with somebody, this beautiful feeling of what is my higher power, right? You know, his grandfather's insistence that the spheres really had their music, right? And I think about this. I said, you know, what a beautiful way for me to think about my higher power. Just something that's so light and beautiful. And I just, whenever I read this paragraph, I think about that, about how, you know, Bill's grandfather described a spiritual connection. You know, nobody was going to tell him what it was going to be, but he felt this beauty. you know. And when I hear this read or I think about this paragraph, I think of beauty and kindness and wonder. And I think of, wow, when I'm connected with my higher power, I get to experience just that heart lifting, gorgeous, almost indescribable feeling, right? It's a feeling I get. And I love that we're about to go into Bill's moment when he feels this and connects, right? It's going to take a little bit, but that's what he's thinking of in this moment. He's thinking of when was a time he saw somebody that was spiritual and connected? It was his grandfather. And he's reminiscing. And I just think it's so beautiful. And it reminds me why I do the work. It's for those moments. Those moments that I get to connect and be, you know, at one with that grace and beauty and compassion. And I was just overwhelmed this morning, so thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cara. Next, we're going to go to the UK. Claire E., please unmute and share on this paragraph, two paragraphs.
Thank you, Susan. Good to hear you, and thank you so much for the reader and the reading. I echo a lot of what's been shared already. And I love this paragraph as well. I think I love Bill and I identify with Bill's process. You know, Ebby's come. There's something different about Ebby. What's going on with Ebby? Ebby's different. Ebby seems to have found a solution. And then he says, I've got God. And Bill was aghast, you know, and that was kind of my experience coming into the fellowship. There was definitely something on offer here. I definitely identified. I could see people who had what I had. I could see they weren't doing it. But that sort of, you know, about God. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, no, it's that. That's not going to work for me. And then that sort of, you know, the mental process of, okay, all right, so it's about God. So how's that going to work for me? You know, and his mind's now pondering on things that do resonate for him. And one of those is his grandfather's, you know, music of spirits. And I love that phrase. I think that's just beautiful. It's so permissive. And it's so, you know, it's that. It says the world of the spirit is broad and roomy. You know, there's just so much interpretation there for anybody to find a higher power. And I guess that's kind of where we're at in OA, is that, you know, there's sort of music of the spheres and everybody can define it how they like. No one's going to tell them how to believe that. And then he muses back onto the old day in Winchester Cathedral. And again, and I like this, the way I think this kind of refers to it in We Agnostics as well. You know, it sort of talks about, you know, these starlit nights that we all look up and we go, we've got that moment of connection. And, you know, I think everybody's got moments of connection they can draw on, you know, little spiritual experiences that they can think to themselves, yeah, at that moment I felt connected. So there may well be something in this for me. Maybe I can build on that. You know, maybe that's the source of my higher power. And as we know, Bill W. goes on to get sober, form Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, the rest is quite literally history, and that's why we're all sitting here. But, you know, this is his really baby beginnings of, oh, God, not God, followed by, okay, all right, fair enough, God, so how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And that's very much what I started at when I came into OA. It's like, I need what they've got. Clearly they've got God. How am I going to make that work for me? You know, and thank goodness, you know, the rest has been an evolution of my concept of a higher power. And that's what I have. I will leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. Next, Cheryl AB in California. Could you unmute and join us, please?
Hi, good morning. This is Cheryl AD from Ventura, California. Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you, Larry. And everybody who shared, I feel like everything's been said, but what occurred to me in listening today was that right before this paragraph, let's see, I lost my page. Right before this paragraph, Bill thinks to himself, you know what, let him rant. I have enough gin to hit around the house to outlast his ranting, right? And so he has this thought, and then he I lost my page. Okay, so
But then Evie does start talking, and at the end of that paragraph, you know, Bill, it says, well, I might as well listen because I'm hopeless. And something miraculous happens. There's something that breaks through all of Bill's denial. And what really comes through to me is the fact that Evie didn't do any ranting. He just came to pass along what had happened with him. And that did something inside of Bill. It made him, it changed something inside of him, and it opened something up inside of him. So that he was able to hear something, and it got through his denial. And at the end, you know, it says, after he has all these recollections, it says it made him swallow hard. And to me, this is about how that frothy emotional appeal does not ever work, because that's coming from my will and my self-reliance and my wanting to control another person. But what happened to here was actually the music of the spheres at work, where one person came and they had this spiritual experience, and it got transmitted to another human being. And it did that thing in us that gets us to have an open mind. And that's what I think is really also very beautiful, as well as this writing by Bill is just absolutely gorgeous in this paragraph. So that is what occurred to me, and I thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl. And next, Emma M. in New Jersey. Emma, good morning. Star one to unmute, Emma.
Good morning. Actually, it's Sema.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Sema. Thank you.
My name is Sema S., grateful, compulsive overeater living in recovery. It's been a while since I've been on a live meeting that used to always go on. And it's refreshing, and I'm so happy that I got to hear everyone. What I like about this is he is recalling now that Evie is telling him his story. All of a sudden, he's recording all these things that happened to him in his childhood and all these things that his grandfather said. All of a sudden, and all the times he ignored the message, and all of the hypocrisy that he heard in the religion, and he's starting to listen. He's starting to think. Maybe I don't know everything here. Maybe there is a message, and he's starting to have the open mind. And then he's remembering the doggerel. So to me, he's like standing at the precipice. And I'm thinking back to my own experience, and I certainly didn't come this close to getting it as quickly as he is now. Maybe I wasn't suffering enough, but it's wonderful that he's able to hear. And it's obvious that his higher power is bringing the message inside of him, and that's when I feel the closest to getting my recovery, is when my higher power is finally calming me down and stop the thoughts in my own head and start listening to what others are saying and getting the message and now sharing the message. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sema F. in New Jersey. Okay, so who would like to share next? And a reminder that we share here every third day. Because although we value your experience, we ask that you limit it to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And a reminder where we are, in case you came in late, page 10, he talked for hours through to that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs this morning?
Cheryl S., Nevada.
Nevada, thank you.
Luann C.
Is that Nancy?
Luann C. from Boise.
Luann C., yes, good morning, thank you.
Lauren S. from Pennsylvania.
Lauren S. Pennsylvania. Okay.
Rocio from California.
Rocio?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else like to join this lineup?
Laura W. from Chicago.
Laura W. from Chicago. Okay, we will stop there. So if everyone other than Cheryl S. for Sam in Nevada could mute their lines. Cheryl, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, a recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph just brings to mind for me, you know, the times that people talked at me, I guess is what I could describe it, about how I needed to take care of my weight. I needed to do something about my weight, and how I talked at people about their issues, and how it's just like a wall would come up, and no matter how true my words or their words were, it just could not get through the wall. But then I think about when I'm speaking to a potential sponsee, and she asks me to tell her my story. And then at some point, if she's ready, I ask for her story. And I'm always amazed at how the time goes by. And in those first few meetings together, and how we're just, I use the word reminisce, although that seems like a strange word to describe, you know, the horrors of the disease that we go through. But it is a reminiscing between two like spirits, you know, two souls that understand, you know, those things that we talk about that we, that I think recovered people feel, they don't feel ashamed of anymore. But when I was unrecovered, I felt so much shame about the way that I ate and the things that I did, and you know, how I tried to deceive the people who loved me into thinking that I wasn't overeating. And Bill is having this experience with Evie, you know, instead of somebody like even just in the hospital recently for Bill, when he was told he was hopeless, he hears it, but it's like he doesn't hear it. But here, suddenly, with Evie just telling his story, you know, the heaven opens up and he hears. And as a result of that, he has there's hope that he can change. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. in Nevada. Next, Luann C. in Boise.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Susan. I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho, gratefully. The thing that stood out for me from this reading is that I could relate to was, you know, his childhood memories and the music of the spheres. And I did have experiences when I was young where I was connected to this spirit, but I didn't recognize it. And soon the clamors of the world took over. And, you know, now in recovery, I've been reconnected to that place, which I'm so grateful for. But I had to be beaten down to the point, in my experience, I was beaten to the point where the only thing I could spit out was, what do you want me to do? Which I said to my higher power. And I had to take the hand of somebody who I had no idea who they were. They just said they were recovered. And I had to follow them. I had to have that. I had to step off that bridge of reason to the shore of faith and just walk forward. And I had to have somebody that my disease didn't know and couldn't get around. And that moment of trust opened the door, and I'm so grateful. And just tell this, if you're a newcomer, just keep coming back. All right, thank you. I'm very grateful. I pass.
Thank you, Luann C. in Boise, Idaho. Next, we're going to go to Pennsylvania, Lauren S.
Yeah, thank you. This is Lauren S., recovering in Pennsylvania. I'm so grateful for the shares so far. This, the line in this passage, the music of the spheres, just really connected for me. I didn't grow up knowing a higher power, and as a teenager had a really powerful experience with my higher power, and kind of was on that road ever since, and became a religious professional that, you know, Bill is willing to tip his hat to in the big book. And despite being kind of a religious professional, I didn't have the answers to the problem I had with eating. And it wasn't until coming to program that it was like I understood that the music of, there was music. I knew there was music out there somewhere. And I had caught, you know, just like little snitches of it. I could hear it sometimes, but not very clearly. And coming to program and working the 12 steps in the way they're taught in the big book, and learning that I'm not special, that I just have to do it the way I'm told, that has led me to be able to kind of be tuned in. It's like I've got the radio on the right channel now, and it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but it has shown me a way to reliably every day tune in and be able to hear that music that's singing all around us. And you all are my tuning fork, so I'm so grateful for you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Lauren, so much. Next, Rocio in California, please star one and unmute.
Hi, good morning. This is Rocio C from California, Ventura County. And well, it's been over a year that I've been abstinent, and when you are sober, information lands differently. And having gone recently to my hometown in Mexico and having to learn new stories about my grandfather, who, for me, all I knew about him was that he was an alcoholic. And as a child, I would witness him in the courtyard for days, just passed out, and that he had an addiction and all these afflictions. But now in recovery, I get to see his complexity, different aspects of him, that, for example, that he was in tune with nature because of his the work he did in the land, and how he would lay on the floor and see the stars and the constellations, and that really touched me in a very beautiful way. And going back to this this whole idea of perfection and musicality and just beauty, today I get to focus on seeing what went right and finding the beauty in the symphony and the harmony in my life and those around me who I had deemed as sick. And I get to focus on the beautiful things and on the underlying issues that have driven my overeating and my bulimia and bulimia exercise. It's a year and 2 months since I last purged, and that is a miracle. It's a miracle, and I am grateful for all of you. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocio in California, and next, Laura W. in Chicago.
Hey, everyone. This is Laura W. from the Western Suburbs in Chicago. So this reading makes me think of two things, especially as I listen to all the shares this morning and how wonderful they are. And it reminds me, first of all, that Ebby is preaching to Bill. And as we know, it's not very effective to preach. When we preach to people, just like when we're preached at, we tend, our mind wanders and we think about our own thoughts. And it's hard to listen to someone preaching to us. And I remember when I first got recovered in OA, I started preaching to my family, in particular, my daughters, my loved ones, who I thought could benefit from the program. And not only was it not effective, it was a little bit detrimental in that even to this day, I can't really talk about 12 steps because they have a bad taste in their mouth because I preached to them before I was even fully recovered and knew what I was talking about. But the second part that this reading reminds me is that, so what? It's not up to us to, the effect we have on people is not up to us, that Ebby did the best he could, that it was not very effective with Bill, and yet still something came through. So we need to do our work, and we need to do it to the best of our ability, and then we need to step back and accept that the outcome is not up to us. And it really has come home to me that as I continue in this program and I quit preaching, now my daughters and other people will ask me questions. They'll approach me because they see that I have a better understanding and that I'm more recovered. So with that, I pass. I'm just so happy to hear the shares this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. All right, continuing on. As a reminder, we're on page 10 in Bill's story, two paragraphs. He talked for hours through to that wartime day in Old Winchester Cathedral came back again. So when you're sharing, if you could give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning. We should have time for at least three more people. Star one to unmute and share your name with me.
This is Vanessa G. I'd like to give it a try.
Hey, Vanessa. Thank you. One second. Who else would like to join Vanessa? Very quiet group this morning. All right, Vanessa, let's start with you while other people are thinking about the reading. Go ahead, please. And tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G, and I'm recovered in New Mexico. I'm also sitting in a rehab hospital this morning, recovering from knee surgery. And I really want to thank the people who stepped up and took care of the meeting for me. I was scheduled as the first reader. So I'm going to try to give it a try to share with you without being interrupted. Because this paragraph is really important or really special to me. Because here's where Bill was first hearing about someone else's experience with relief from, this disease. And it's been given, by a higher power. And Ebby's able to talk about it for hours, and I'm still amazed that it was able to get through the fog of Bill's drunkenness, because he was sitting there at the table, I'm sure, just pouring himself a drink after drink and listening to Ebby. But somehow it pierced that fog. And the same thing is true for me. When I first came to this meeting, I heard the music of the spheres. I heard, in my book, I have a study edition, and it talks about the music of the spheres being the harmony produced by the movements of the heavenly bodies and heard only to the gods. And you guys tapped into that for me. I've heard the music of the gods. I've heard the music of the heavens. I've heard the way out. And this meeting in particular, because it is so God-centered, because it is really centered on the spiritual awakening and transmitting that from person to person, has been my salvation from the disease of compulsive overeating. And I really didn't want to miss, being part of, that talking for hours. You guys have talked to me for hours and hours and hours and have saved my life. And it's my hope that, maybe I can do a little bit of that myself in return. And thank you for letting me share this morning. I got through it without an interruption. Take care.
Thank you, Vanessa. And we wish you a speedy recovery. Okay. Star one to unmute. Who else would like to share on this paragraph today? It must be somebody's third day today. You've never done so before. Someone's unmuted. Who do I hear?
Elizabeth A. from Michigan.
Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Who else would like to join Elizabeth? Are we going to go one at a time? Possibly we are. All right, Elizabeth, go ahead and share on this paragraph or two, actually. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take it off speaker. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan, and I am struck by his language, Bill's language. He says about his grandfather, his good-natured contempt, which to me is kind of an oxymoron. The good-natured, I understand, the contempt is a disregard or dismissal of something without really considering it. And it's like his grandfather, is that his father looks, grandfather looks at these other people, some of them, and dismisses their message. And his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen and his fearlessness. To me, that speaks of my resistance to doing what this program tells me to do or encourages me to do and suggests. And I have to be honest, I do have that dismissive nature to my addiction. And there are sometimes, even in program, that I am somewhat dismissive because I do see we are all flawed people and my brain can see the flaws. And then I can justify that because I grew up with an incredible amount of hypocrisy in my family. And so I see that. I see that we're all, most of us are flawed. And, you know, it's through those imperfections that I need to embrace my higher power's message. So there has to really be for me an open-mindedness and the ability to hear God speak, even through imperfect people, and to not judge. I need to set aside all that, my history. And that really speaks loudly to me because, again, excuse me, I view things often through that cynicism. And I really need to get past that because I definitely struggle with that. And I spoke with somebody Sunday, and it was just wonderful because this I felt comfortable enough from vision that this person could speak to some of the resistance that I have, and in a caring way, not a judgmental way. So when I am disarmed enough, I can more readily hear the message and hear God's voice. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much. Elizabeth A. in Michigan. All right. Who got brave in that 3 minutes and would like to star one and unmute? We probably have time for two more people.
Debbie B.
Sorry, I heard the last initial. Is that Debbie?
Yes, Debbie.
Great. Debbie B. And where are you calling from, Debbie?
From Utah.
Great. Anybody else like to join Debbie and share after her?
Elaine B., Massachusetts.
Elaine B. All right. Those will be our last two shares. Go ahead, Debbie B. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. Debbie B. from just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah, compulsive overeater. So I'm driving right now to, I got a phone call a few hours ago that my little 94-year-old mother lives in a little condo, and the condo next to hers, where her, it's a duplex next to her, and it blew up. It just blew up, and because of a gas leak, and it blew all my mother's windows in, and it blew her cabinets off the walls, and the lady next door, and you're probably thinking, well, why are you bringing that up? Are you trying to get attention? No. The reason I decided to share, I wasn't going to share, and I thought, you know, I find it interesting that I was able to grab some food and throw it in my purse so I could head down to my mother's, and some abstinent food. And that is, I never thought once, I'm going to go eat a candy bar. I'm going to eat a candy bar on the way to my mom's because then I'll feel better. That's not what I thought. I thought, where's my abstinent food? And so I'm bringing this up because, and I've heard people say this in the past, that they've gone through hard things. And yes, my mom is fine and I am fine. And well, we go through hard things that are unexpected, and those are not the times when the food calls to me. It's interesting that the food sometimes, and I have neutrality now, but it's interesting that the food would call to me when it was something smaller, something insignificant. And but with this, being able to grab abstinent food that I did not have prepared because I didn't know that this was happening today, to be able to do that and not have to turn to food for comfort so I can show up and be present is a miracle. And I just wanted to share that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie B. in Utah. Elaine B. in Massachusetts, please join us for our last share. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So that wartime day at the Winchester Cathedral came back, and that's right at the beginning of Bill's story where it says, here lies the Hampshire Grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot, whether he dies by musket or by pot. So, you know, the thing about this is the recoiling that we can get at some of the approaches that people try to share with us. I remember in deep relapse sitting in the back of the No Way room, and all I heard was wah, 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 you know, and I'm there shaking my legs thinking about where I'm going to go to get some sweets and being all angry because I get to that store and there's other people from the OA meeting in there. How could I buy it in front of them, you know? But here is a voice he could hear. Here is a voice that helped him check in with the place that kept him from a power greater than himself, you know, and realizing that there is a solution, but there are things in our past, things in our understanding, things in our history that keep us from that higher power that stands in the way, and that's what the step work is so effective at doing, you know. But when we get to, first we get the willingness, then we get the work of step four, and five, that's the hard part, you know. But as we continue to do this in steps 10 and 11 and continue for a lifetime, that relationship begins to grow no matter where we stand today. So if you recoil at the thought of turning your will and your life over to a power greater than yourself, come up with a conception that you can believe, that you can start out with. You know, it's a journey for a lifetime. And so I'll pass with that. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. All right. So here we are, the end of the meeting. I'd like to thank our team this morning, Larry G., Lorraine N., Lois P., who stepped in for us, Cheryl S., who will be our newcomer greeter, Eileen M. will share announcements, so stay on, and Laura W. for reading the 12 steps, and Letty G. Thank you all. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lorraine N., would you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.